Pubcast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Magic of leaves, the sacred leaves, they can be used basically for any situation in life. And I guess that the key point is you understand that everything in life is magic or can become magical.
Welcome to the Liberated Healer Podcast, where we touch on a variety of topics in the world of spirituality, energetic healing, and everything in between and beyond. Take an adventure on a shooting star with your host, Gina, offering wisdom, guidance, and everlasting love and support.
Hi, everybody. This is Gina Cavalier, and this is the Liberated Healer Podcast. Thanks for being with us today. And today we have Diego Ochoasi. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Gina. I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you, everybody who's listening and watching us. And thank you once again for all your patience with the internet and all IT trouble we had to be here today. It's an honor to be here in the show.
Yes, wonderful. I mean, you're coming from Brazil, and I always love coming from different areas because it's so, you know, worldwide and really interesting to get the different, you know, information from different parts of the world. And you're chief of Kimbanda or
Bishop. Yeah.
Okay, could you tell us a little bit about your history and what that kind of means?
Well, actually, there are Kimbanda and Orishas, the traditions, or Candomblé, as we call in Brazil. It's there are two different religions that, in my point of view, they complement each other. Because Candomblé or any other Orishas traditions, as we have the Voodoo tradition in Haiti, as we have the Ifá and Lukumi in Cuba and in all over Africa. But basically, Orishas traditions and Orishas religions, we worship the nature forces. So we have gods and goddesses that represent all powers of nature. So the Orishas are the powers of nature, the forces of nature. We have the Orishas, the Orisha of technology, the Orisha of communication, the Orisha of thunder, the Orisha of the woods, the Orisha of the rivers. So every force, every natural element, every natural force, and every potential that a human being can develop is related or is commanded by an Orisha. And they are deities, they are gods and goddesses. On the other hand, Kimbanda is a spiritual cult, a spiritual religion that deals directly with the souls of the deceased, with honorable deaths, with the spirits that have the power to, and actually have the capacity to come back from death throughout the phenomenon of embodiment. So during a Kimbanda session, during a Kimbanda ritual, the priest or the mediums, they lost their conscience and they are possessed by the spirits. So when I'm in a Kimbanda session, when I speak, when I act, when I eat, whenever everything I do during a Kimbanda session, it's not me, but actually the spirit that takes my conscience. So when I say that one thing completes another, it's exactly that. Every spirit has, every one of us alive now, we have our own faiths, but we believe in a higher power. We believe in a higher god or goddesses or plurals, but we are spirits embodied in a flesh and bone body, and we have our own faith. We believe in a higher power. And Kimbanda deals with our own spirits after death. And each one of these spirits have their own faith. And then we have a cult or a religion that deals with the spirits, with what we are, and is embraced by another religion there is the Orishas tradition that deals with deities from nature. So one thing completes another. And I'm a priest in both religions.
And when you do a Kumbanda session, what are most people coming to you for? Is it for healing, like physical, or, you know, what are we, how's that process?
The major subject of people in a Kumbanda session, we have basically most people looking for work, for prosperity, for wealth, solutions, or poverty issues, and love. That's the two basic points we have, money and love. But of course, we have a lot of people that comes to us to treat health issues that have some spiritual background, and that can be treated like that. I'm a proof of this kind of magic. I'm alive now because of magic. I was born with a incurable disease, but it has a spiritual background, a spiritual reason of being. And I was diagnosed with this disease when I was 2 years old. And all doctors that, while I was in and out of the hospitals from 2 years old until my 7 to 8 years. And the doctors all said that I wouldn't leave after 7 or 8 years old. And the truth is, here I am, 37 now. So I have 30 years more than the doctor says. And I'm alive now because of the spirits. I'm alive now because magic treats some, and this is important, magic treats some diseases, and only diseases that have spiritual reasons or spiritual backgrounds of happening. So this is one thing that we must always enforce, that no matter what magic tradition you are, no matter what religion you believe in, no matter what God or goddess or spirit or anything that you believe in, if you have a disease, you must go to a doctor. And you must follow what the doctor says, and you must take your vaccines, you must take your medicines. And also, and this is the key of health magic, of healing magic, and also do the rituals, do the magic, so that the spirits or the deities can interfere, I'm losing the best word in English here, but they can act along with the doctor. And sometimes maybe the doctor is not looking up, it's not finding the disease root, the disease origin. It's not understanding what's happening with their body, and this magical action, this magical influence of spirits and gods throughout a healing spell. It can make the doctor see something, or you can do some kind of exam, and that didn't show anything until that. And you do the ritual, and poof, there your doctor can see the disease. But you must go along with the spiritual and the physical healing, and spiritual and physical doctors.
Yeah, because it's mind, body, and spirit. And,
exactly.
And then also, I mean, you have a book here, The Sacred Leaves, which I've had. And this is the third volume.
This is a huge volume with volumes 1, 2, and 3 that were released in Brazil as separate books. Joellen did an amazing job taking the original trilogy that was released in Brazil and creating one bigger book with all the content from The Power of Leaves, The Magic of Leaves, and The Secret of Leaves. These are the titles of origin books in Portuguese. And here we have Sacred Leaves, a magical guide to Orisha's herbal witchcraft.
Yeah,
I love this title. I love the title that Llewellyn gave in English. It's amazing.
And, you know, that's really interesting, because I've had some health things and had to go, you know, the doctor route as well, but I always coupled it with spirituality work. And, you know, I always felt a combined transformation when I did that together. And if at any time I was sick and I didn't really feel the energy to do a spiritual engagement, it just, I took a long time to get better. So What kind of kidney? I know you said you had a kidney disease when you were young.
Yeah, I was wondering, just let me look on Google for the right translation for it in English.
You have great English, by the way. And, you know, I really want to commend you for the work that you're doing to reach, you know, outside the borders. And also, I heard you got married recently. Is that correct?
No, I'm married for 10 years now.
Okay, well, I thought I saw a ceremony, and then maybe
the picture is in Instagram. No, they are pictures from me receiving some high degrees in Kimbanda.
Oh, okay. Well, so yeah, what was that all about?
So yeah, because we have some we have three initial degrees in Kimbanda. So we have first degree of initiation, where you take a first step and, well, you get initiated and you start to get to knowing things and being a part of Kimbanda. Then you get the second degree a few years later, when you're kind of a half priest. You were entitled a priest, but you didn't start at your own temple. You don't lead your own community yet, but you have all priests' knowledge and rights and everything like that. Then we have the third degree, when you start your own temple. You start taking care of people and looking for your community. And after this third degree, we can achieve some fourth, fifth, and sixth degree. This is a long journey until you are allowed to perform a magic as strong and hard as that.
Yeah. That's really hard for me to swallow.
There was a book released by Inner Traditions last year that explain in details all this Kimbanda tradition. It's called Traditional Brazilian Black Magic. I'll try to look for the cover here.
Why don't we get into some of the herbal, like how, because it's sacred leaves. So obviously it's about nature.
Yeah. Well, sacred leaves is as we spoke before, it's a huge volume, a one volume. How is the word in English? It's a single book that groups my three first books released in Brazil. So it all started with the first volume, The Power of Leaves. I never imagined writing a trilogy, publishing this in a foreign country. It's amazing. So the whole thing starts with the first third of the book, which goes from, well, chapter one until we have almost the first 100 pages of the book are the first volume of the trilogy in Portuguese. And the whole point here, the whole point of Sacred Leaves book is to teach people how to awake the leaves power, the inner power of leaves and seeds and fruits and flowers and every kind of plant that we can find, understand how, what's their power, what power they carry within, and how they relate one another. And this is one thing that amazes me when we're talking about Orisha's herbal magic or Orisha's herbal witchcraft, is that we understand the plants as not human beings, but as living beings. Yeah, we understand plants as living beings, and they almost relate one to another, just like we relate one to another. So when we're going to prepare a herbal bath or a smoke to a place, or a floor washing with herbal water, any kind of herbal ritual, we must marry the leaves. And this is amazing. We must understand if that leaf has a male or a female, male or female vibration. Found the word. A male or a female vibration. What's this vibration strength? So we can marry a male leaf with a strong male leaf with a losing the words here. A strong with a, what's the opposite of strong? I lost myself in English.
That makes sense, though. So
we don't lose four editors because, but the whole idea of the first 100 pages of the book is to teach people how to use African herbal magic, Orisha's herbal witchcrafts in their day-to-day life. So how to identify the powers of a plant, how to awake this inner power. Because when you grab a leaf in the street or in the wood, or when you buy some flower in the market, it's basically a plant. It's not a magical element. It's a living being. It's a vegetable, okay, but it doesn't have its magical power awakened yet. So there are some magical guides to tell this plant, literally sing to the plant and say what you want this plant to achieve. What magic power do you want to awake in the bunch of power that is, that specific plant can achieve. So this is all the main idea of this first part of the book. How to identify, how to combine one plant to another, how to create your own magic recipes based in African herbal magic and Orisha's herbal witchcraft, and how to sing to enchant, how to to understand its power, how to combine one leaf to another and create your own recipes. So the first third of the book, it's all about African magic, all about Orisha's herbal witchcraft. That's it. When we understand, when we learn how to identify a plant power, a leaf's power, we will learn that it has five different parameters to define if this leaf is positive or negative. It's a male or female. It's a cold or a hot leaf. And these magical parameters is exactly what's going to be used to create your own recipes. So the last part of the book, it's a herbal dictionary. All these five parameters are detailed for 365 different species, and species that can be found all over the world. So, oh, but Diego, you published in Brazil. We're afraid that we'll only have leaves in the recipes or the dictionary with leaves that can be found in South America. And no, we took care of translating the common names of plants found throughout the world. We have the scientific name of the plant. So if you don't know that common name, you can always look for the scientific name in Google or do some quick research and find out how this plant is called in your country or on your estate or something like this. So the last part of the book is a plant dictionary, a magical plants dictionary. Yes. That will teach you what to use. So first part is how to cook. I like to make this comparison with cooking, with gastronomy. Yes. And first part of the book will teach you how to cook. The last part of the book will teach you what to use, what ingredients to use, what is the function and the power of each ingredient. And exactly the middle of the book, so in between the power of leaves, the first third, and the magic of leaves, the dictionary, we have the secret of leaves, where we leave a little bit aside the African traditions and take a look to a lot of other esoterical, mystical, and magical traditions that deals and work with plants. So we will talk about feng shui from China and Japan. We're going to talk about Indian magic and gypsy magic for the plant pots, and how to create a magical garden in your home, how to do a magical kitchen, how to create a magical kitchen, how to do magical cookery, and a lot of day-to-day rituals, that day-to-day habits that we have that can be turned out, that can be turned in magical rituals if we learn how to awake these powers, how to choose the right flower to decorate our home, how to choose the right plant to put in our uh, in, in, in the gate of our garden, something like this.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the dictionary you have back here. So, for example, poinsettia, because, you know, it's holidays coming up. It brings strength and courage to face challenges. It's male. The ruling Orisha is Ogun.
Mm-hmm.
Elephant features earth. So can see that now. And then you have other ones that help with cleansing, used in recipes to discharge any negative energy, attract prosperity, wealth, happiness, bring confidence in your words. It's different. These are all different things that they help with. Some of them are helping to overcome pain of loss and death, which I think is interesting. Help to react well in the face of grief and disgust. Excellent for spiritual cleansing, which I think is really interesting because, you know, it seems like there's, anything that's going on in your life, you can kind of lean exactly. in, even if something that serious, like a loss exactly. for death.
And yeah. If we think that all pharmaceutical industry searches in nature for leaves and seeds and fruits and roots that can perform a pharmaceutical healing, we will understand that all disease has an energetical equal. You know what I mean? And of course, we won't heal a body disease only by a herbal bath or for doing some smoke. But especially when we're talking about emotional issues or hard times in life. So as someone in grief, you can always work with the herbal bath to cleanse the energy, and you can use some perfume magic or essential oils to increase self-esteem and balance the low vibration emotions with a higher vibration one. So leaves can be used, the magic of leaves, the sacred leaves, they can be used basically for any situation in life.
Yeah.
And I guess that the key point is you understand that everything in life is magic or can become magical.
Yes.
And the thing, we can look for a feeling as someone in grief. Oh, that's just a hard feeling. It's sad. Oh, I'm sorry for that. Okay. But what energies are ruling that moment? And how can we balance this energy so that the emotion will transform itself?
And I see even you have garlic skin here. And it says, yeah. Besides this harmful spirits and energies, which makes me feel like get rid of the energy vampires.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. If we think about all magical ends and mystical traditions in the world, they gave different names for basically the same situations.
Yeah.
So we have energetic vampires. We have this Igun, as we call in Orisha's traditions, which are the souls of the deceased that just do harm and that are they are hungry, so they need to energetically feed from someone or somewhere. And garlic is an amazing healing plant for this kind of vampires.
Yes. So if you're feeling this energy, say in a workplace that you don't have control over, like in your home, maybe you have more control of where you put things or how you do things, but say you have to go to an office.
Mm-hmm.
I had recently had to go to an office that I literally felt was full of energy vampires, really bad. I would get the like little hairs in the back of my neck when I walked
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
You create like a perfume or something.
Yeah. You can, if it smells good, you can use as a perfume or as a, I don't know the, I really don't know the word in English, but in Brazil, we have some small jewels that you can put essential oils inside and you can carry this in a necklace.
Like a crystal?
Like a crystal that you can put essential oils on. In the case of garlic, it doesn't smell good, so you won't use a garlic perfume, but you can take a few garlic pieces inside your bag or in the pocket of your shirt and get protected from these energetical vampires, these drains, these energy drains that we are subjected to this. I always like to get some one example that a car accident, for example. We don't know when it will happen, where this will happen, and we must go to somewhere. We are just passing on the street and boom, a car crashes near of us and someone dies in that accident. Of course, that will be a very hard and damageful energy there. And if we're not protected, we can be attacked for this bad energy. So we can always take some rosemary leaves inside a bag or a rosemary perfume. We can have, there is a leaf that I love to use. Just let me look for the English name of this. It's called rue. I love to use rue.
Rue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rue leaves for this kind of unavoidable energies that we must deal in a day-to-day life. So you can grab a rue piece like this, yes, and put inside your wallet or put inside your bag or put inside the shirt pocket, and it will almost create a bubble of protection around you. And this is amazing to for this day-to-day bad energies that we need to face. So there are a lot of things that we can discreetly do or use without having to create a huge ritual. And this is something that Sacred Leaves teaches in details, and that I love about doing herbal magic, is that when we talk about magic rituals, usually we think about a huge space with candles and a whole preparation before, during, and after the ritual, a lot of stuff.
Yes.
But herbal witchcraft, you know, especially Orisha's herbal witchcraft, it's simple as taking a rue and put it inside your pocket. You know?
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Take that, I'll take my lighter, for example. Imagine this is a rue leaf. You just need to learn how to awake the rue power. Because if you grab the rue from the tree, and it's only a green leaf. Okay. Yeah. How you say to this leaf what you want it to do in your life, how you sing to enchant, and this is the name of a chapter in the book that is the core of Orisha's herbal witchcraft. How you sing to enchant and say to that leaf, oh, rue leaf, I want you to protect me from evil that I cannot see and from hard feelings that I cannot avoid, for example.
Uh-huh.
You create a song saying this to the plant. You literally sing for the plant. And then it understands, it awakes its inner power, and then you make that leaf become a magical artifact. And then you and go live.
Yeah.
It's that. Yeah.
So the trees want to communicate with us and want to help us.
Exactly.
And want to help teach us things.
Exactly. And they're all open to hear what we wish they do.
Yeah.
But we must learn how to say this.
Yeah.
You know, there are some musical rules for just like rhyme, the activation verb, repetition in the song, how you compose this magical song, this enchantment, this rules is how to create your enchantments. It's a whole chapter in the book just to teach people how to compose these enchantments. Once you get that, you can enchant everything around you.
Oh, that's kind of neat. So when you go on a walk, you could just kind of sing the songs and look at the essence of different trees that you're walking, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then do the Orishas come in and just kind of, I had an ocean come in on a thing that I was doing, and I started working with her a little bit, and she kind of came to me, but I didn't even honestly know about her yet. I had to learn about her, what she liked and things like that. So do they just kind of open themselves up to you sometimes and show up, or what do you think about some of that stuff?
Yeah, something like this.
I used to explain that different from the Christian God, there is omniscient, omnipresent, all this omni in English. I won't know how to say that, but all that they know it all, is everywhere, knows it all, and can do everything. But the Christian God is basically open for everyone. He takes care of everyone, and at the same time, he doesn't take care of anyone. Because when he's all open, oh, I am the God of everyone, he doesn't take care of someone specifically. It's so broader, so general that we lose this personal contact with yes. this all omniscient God. The Orishas, they are all open to hear us, but they don't, to use the right words, they don't care to take care of those who don't look for them. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. Of course, if you become initiated in a Orisha tradition, this will create a strongest and eternal bond between you and your personal Orisha. And this is something that can literally change a life for the best that someone can live.
Yeah.
But a non-initiated can create this relationship with the Orishas by understanding that the rain is a Orisha, that the trees, that the roads, that the communication, the power of communication is an Orisha. It's called yeah. the Shu. It's an Orisha called the Shu. He's the God of communication. So when you see that all around you is magical and there is a deity taking care of everything around, you can connect with it.
Yeah.
You can connect with this God, with this goddess, with this Orishas. And then you can sing for a tree while you're passing by in the street, asking the trees in the street to take care of the meeting you're going to or the family reunion. Just like you can sing for the ingredients when you're cooking.
Oh, well, that's really neat.
And that's how you create a magical cookery, a magical kitchen, for example.
Well, you just said family reunion, and that resonated with me because I'm going to like a family reunion in Ireland, and my guides have been telling me that the green, they call it Heart Chakra Island. Because the green is so rich and healing that it helps heal your heart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think the green, you know, of all the trees and the land and stuff like that is really healing. And I'm definitely really excited about that. But I'm really interested in about just in general about salt, because salt is the first thing people talk about when you're like, put salt on your door or add salt to the, what do you, what's your infra? Your knowledge about that
salt is a very tricky ingredient, and the common salt, I don't know the right word in English, but the kitchen, the salt we usually use in kitchen, that definitely takes the demons away, to take all the evil away. There is some voodoo and hoodoo practices that you put some salt in the indoors or in windows to keep the bad energies away. That's true. And that really works. The thing is that salt is a very strong ingredient. And if you use salt for any kind of ritual, you must balance this its force, its power, with some sweetness, and that's the key. So you want to protect your home with a door with a salt barrier, yeah, okay, that works, that's true, but you need to put a lot of sweeteners rituals inside your place, because it's going to drain the good and the bad energy. And that's the secret of salt, especially coarse salt. I'm saying this right? Quartz? Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, coarse salt. This is very, very
Dangerous.
Okay.
Dangerous. Yeah. Coarse salt is very dangerous because it's a very, very, very strong cleanser. And when I say very, 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 it means that it's, yeah, it will take all bad energies away, but will also take all good energies away. It's going to reset you. It's going to drain you. And when you use coarse salt in a ritual, you must immediately do another ritual to put back the energy it took. So people in Brazil have the habit of taking coarse salt baths. And I say, don't do this. Unless you really know what you're doing, please don't do this. Oh, but it's not going to do to take the bad energy away. Yeah, this will. And we'll also take all the good energy, and you'll become a open door for any kind of energy. So
that's interesting because, you know, in a lot of our local stores, we have, you know, they'll have the salt baths with the lavender. And I even have it in my bathroom. And I was thinking about using it. And for lately, I was like, I didn't want to use it because I feel like I don't need it. So you're saying when you do a bath with that, right, that you take away all the bad, but also all the good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You can do that. Now you have to add something sweet.
If you take a bath like that, you need to immediately after that bath take another bath of sweetener and of sweet leaves or perfume leaves or. We usually call this sweet ingredients, not exactly sugar, but this prosperity, love, peace, or harmony potentials. Because you need to put some energy back. You took the coarse salt; it took all out of you. You're at an open window for anything that passes by. So you need to occupy that. Yeah, you need to occupy that place. You've set an energy void. So now you need to put what you want in place. So you took the bath. Don't dry yourself. Don't get out of the shower. Just take another bath with positive leaves, with your positive goal, so that you put something back. I really don't. How is the word? I don't recommend coarse salt. Yeah, unless you really need. There are some times we are. Very, very, very
in
bad need. With in need. Yeah. For example, I just lost my mother-in-law last week, and we had to, of course, we needed to go to the cemetery. We need to go to the death rituals that every person goes through.
Yeah.
And when I came back home after the barrier, after burying her, well, I was inside the cemetery dealing with a dead body, taking the coffin and helping to put this on the ground. I dealt with a lot of heavy energies. She wasn't a bad person, on the contrary, but all the context, all the environment brought a lot of heavy energies on me. Yeah. So that was the first time in, I guess, 5 or 7 years that I took a coarse salt bath. You know, this is a very specific situation. It was, I needed a hard ritual, a strong cleansing. So I took the coarse salt, and immediately after that, I took a rosemary bath because I wanted to balance the energy and balance my emotions. My wife was sad because she passed away. We needed to balance our emotions. So life needs to go on. So that's so
that's really interesting. Because I was told to take a rosemary bath by my guide. So now I understand. So are you saying rosemary is a good second bath to take?
Yeah. Yeah. I love rosemary. And I also have a chapter dedicated to rosemary in the sacred leaves, because I understand that rosemary is a, I guess that joker it would be the best word in English. Just let me confirm this. Yeah, a joker, like the card games where you have that card that can do anything anytime. So rosemary is a joker leaf because it can fulfill any desire, any kind of goal, and can be used alone. So if you don't have any other leaf in hands, if you don't have any other ingredient and you need to put some energy, some good energy in somewhere, you can take rosemary and do a bath, do a cleansing, or grab a rosemary piece in your bag or something like this. I love the flexibility of rosemary. There are a lot of other plants that have strongest specific powers. So when you're creating a new job, bath, you're going to a meeting looking for a new job, and you're going to meet the company's director, and then you can create a specific ritual, a specific bath with shining leaves. So you must be seen. You must enchant that person to be selected for the job. You need to, you can put some wealth and prosperity herbs. So you can look for a bigger salary or something like this. But so for specific situations, you should always look for specific ingredients. But in general, in day-to-day life, rosemary does it all.
And you see secret leaves. I mean, are you also work with flowers in here, or is it mostly just?
Yeah. Yeah. I personally don't have the habit of working with flowers. I like to, and I live in the middle of the woods. Of course, this is a scenario, but this is a background scenario, but I live in the countryside of Brazil, and I literally live in the middle of the woods. So I have easy access to leaves more than flowers, but people in urban environments, in cities, and in the market, you can easily find flowers instead of leaves. So yeah, in the dictionary, especially in the magical dictionary of the book, I have a lot of flowers listed there. So you can have daisies are amazing for happiness and friendship rituals. Roses, of course, red roses for passion, white roses for peace and harmony, yellow roses for communication and personal shining. So there are usually the most common flowers have the biggest powers.
Yeah, and I like that you have the language, the secret language as well, you know, which in here.
So. Yeah, there's a little part with a Yoruba dictionary. Yoruba is the Orisha's language. It's actually an African language that is used by Orisha's religions and Orisha's practitioners. So when you're going to create your enchantment, you can either choose to write this enchantment in English or in another language that you like to, but you can also put some Orisha's language words in the middle of it to create this connection and relationship with the Orishas. So that's the idea of this dictionary inside the book. So you can grab some words in Yoruba, in the sacred language, and put this in your enchantments.
And what did you say about, you know, that old like witch tale stuff where they say you're going to get back 10 times if you don't do it right? Like, say if you do a spell and...
That's a tricky question. And I'm going to answer this for myself, not as a priest, but as a person.
Okay.
I sincerely don't believe in it. I don't believe that nature or gods or goddesses are going to punish us if we do something wrong. If we do something bad, yeah, I believe in the divine justice. So if we do something bad, we must be punished. But if we do something wrong, I cannot worship a God that punishes me if I did something for not knowing the right way to do so. But life is there. The consequences of life must be faced. And that has nothing to do with spirits, with orishas, with God, or with the devil.
I love
these are all
yes
life consequences. So we must think before choosing. We must think before acting. We must think before saying. Because if we think right, most probably we will choose, do, say, act, or perform right.
Correct.
If we don't, well, face life consequences. Deal with this.
It's kind of it feels like it's the intention behind every action. So
exactly.
If we're intending to do an action on purpose to hurt someone, there's going to be consequences for that.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I like that because we all have, like you said, we all have consequences of life. None of us are immune to it. But I also am very passionate about justice. So I like when people say there is a divine justice because it helps relieve my fear. I don't have to worry about it. In a way, there is going to be a divine justice that happens one way or another, that we don't have to fill our mind with trying to be the judge and the jury. In the world, just have the best intention you can.
Exactly.
If you did do something, you know, you're the only human. You know, you have to take the consequence of that. Sometimes there's a lesson in that, you know.
And that's the thing. We only learn by, I don't like to use this word, but we only learn throughout suffering. No one learns when everything is right. No one grows when everything is right. If everything is right, I used to say this for people that come to me to read an oracle. Of course, you have a problem. You don't need to tell. And you can try to lie to yourself that, oh, everything is great. If everything was great, you would be at the beach taking a sun bath, drinking a beer, enjoying your life. You wouldn't be at a temple looking for help. No one goes to an oracle. No one goes to a therapist. No one goes to a doctor if everything is right. So we only learn and we only grow through all difficulties.
Yes.
What we must see and we must understand is what lesson these or that difficulty have to teach us. Because if we don't get that, we will always repeat and repeat and repeat the same mistake again. Because usually, of course, there are some bad people in the world. There are some bad situations that we cannot control. But basically, everything that happens to us is our choice. We are responsible for basically anything that happens to us. If we don't get control over what happens, we absolutely have control of how we feel and how we react about that. For example, I cannot control someone that betrays me.
Yep.
That's the other person's actions and choices in life. Okay. But I can control and I can choose if I will pass weeks and years crying and feeling sorry for myself. Oh, they did me bad. Oh, they did me bad. Oh, they betray me. Oh, poor of me, poor of me. Or I can try to look to myself and say, okay, what did I did wrong? Did I give too much trust for someone that I didn't know well? Did I open myself too much when I should preserve me? You know, that kind of self-reflection, self-thinking, and self-analysis, this is the key to happiness. When we understand that we can control the consequences of our life by controlling our choices,
that's how we find happiness. And that's how we can create a direct connection with the orishas. Because, and people in Brazil are going to scream with me because of this, but there is one major goal for the orishas in our life. And there is one major reason that someone can and should look for the orisha's power, the orisha's faith, and the orisha's magic. To be happy and to be prosper. Prosperity is not all about money. No. And when we talk about prosperity, people almost always think, oh, he's saying that people should look the orishas to become rich. No, that's not the thing. But you must have orisha in your life to achieve happiness and to achieve prosperity, to be able to recognize the value and not the cost of the things that you have and that you go through. You know, that's
abundance, you know, abundance.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, it's a different value other than rich. It's abundance. That abundance can be love. It can be
community. Exactly. Exactly.
Family, you know?
Exactly.
Some people have like a lack in something that they've always wanted. You know, I always felt like I had a lack of family. And I was always kind of sad about that. And I thought, well, I'm not going to get more family. You know, I'm not going to get more brothers and sisters at this point and things like that. And I went and got my DNA done and I found 3 brothers and sisters.
Whoa.
Now I have 5 siblings, and it's so funny. But so you know, I had to learn that I could still have the things that I thought were completely unattainable.
And you can increase this love. You can increase this bond with them and learn with their experiences, learn with their history, learn with their love for you.
Yeah.
And this is abundance.
And so
this is richness.
I have a question about a lot of people are asking me lately, because there is turmoil being felt, you know, from the, you know, after COVID, it just really shook the leaves out of the trees. but as in like our fears and our anxiety and about division and politics and all kinds of this stuff. Is there, you know, I get asked a lot about the light and the dark and like what's going on right now. And is there some sort of a force be outside of ourselves that is kind of been heightened in a different way right now that you might have be aware of?
No, I don't think like this. I think we are all being put in proof, you know, because all this, especially in politics, in Brazil, we have almost the same dichotomy, almost the same struggles that that America faced with them Trump in power while president. So this, I don't know the best word for the separation.
Division.
Thank you. We faced this in Brazil with the current president, which is a fascist president. We must say the truth, but he's there. And at least 50% of the population vote for him. In Brazil, the election system is different. So we had almost 50% of electors voting for him. And we must respect that choice. But, and that's a big key here, I believe that this is a God's or Orisha's proof that we must face the truth. So how can I befriend and relate and have intimate connection with someone that defends a fascist.
Yes.
And most of the situations I pass by this kind of things
inside my family. Of course, we knew people were like that, but we choose not to see. We choose not to face the truth. Oh, it's my cousin, it's my father, it's my mother, it's my anyone. Now the truth is all open there and people are showing themselves. And we have the opportunity to choose what we want to our lives, what kind of people we want for our lives, so what vibrations and what environment we want to build in our intimate lives. And that's a very hard proof, because at the same time that I really believe that we have this opportunity, I sadly see that a lot of people doesn't have the enough strength to do these choices.
Yes.
So they sadly choose to keep living in a toxic environment, in a toxic relationship, or in a misogynic or I really don't know this political words in English, but all this
yes
damn stuff we must face, all the selfish of people around, because unfortunately they are not strong enough yet.
Yes.
And maybe this yet is the key.
Yet. I agree.
Yet.
We can only make change when the truth comes out.
Exactly.
And I feel like that's sort of a little bit what the shaking of the leaves was on both. And now you're right. You know, it was always there, but people would pretend that it wasn't. And so now maybe in the truth, we can kind of help, you know, see what the truth is, where our choices are, and help each other align better, because, you know, we're all in this together, really, you know.
Exactly.
You know. So I really appreciated talking with you today. And this is Sacred Leaves by Llewellyn Publications, which I love, Llewellyn. And it's fascinating. This is a very detailed, this is your life's work is in here.
Yeah, exactly. This is my last 15 years of life, faith, and research in a book.
I really appreciated you today. I want to not do my salt baths anymore. I'm an empath, and I was actually wanting to ask you about that. So I'm really excited to get some answers about it. But I actually am going to do a little bit of reading and some of my own little things here, and, you know, maybe
great
back to you on how those went. But thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Gina. It was a pleasure being with you. I loved being with you. And for everybody that is hearing and listening, you can always follow me or look for me in Google and Amazon or Instagram, Diego De Ochozi, and I'm all here, all open to help you any way I can.
Thank you. Much love to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, you can find us online at theliberatedhealer.com, on Instagram at Liberated Healer Podcast, or on Facebook at The Liberated Healer. Give us a follow, subscribe, send us a message if you so feel, and thank you for your support.